Tonight, we're here to celebrate what Christ has done for us. What Christ has done. In 1 Corinthians 10, 15 and through 17, there's some verses there that sum up the meaning of communion. It says, "I speak as to wise men. Judge ye what I say. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we, being many, are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread." Individuals, all of us as individuals here, are joined because we partake of one body and one bread. Tonight, there's I'm not sure how to do this exactly, but I thought tonight this would be more of an expository message. I'm going to do a lot of reading, I think. Go through the story there in Matthew. We'll start in Matthew 26. But before that, 1 Corinthians 11, 24 and 25, the words of Jesus there, it says, "When he had given thanks, he brake it, the bread, and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup, when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me." This cup is the New Testament of my blood. What does the New Testament mean to you? The New Testament of Jesus' blood. What does that mean? What is a testament? A testament is a person's will. It's like a will that a person writes, and it gives direction on his estate. But the person has to die first for that will to be executed. That's one meaning. And another meaning is something that serves as a sign or evidence of a specific fact, event, or something like that. But the New Testament of Christ's blood ushers in a new era for God's people. In the Old Testament, when God's people were under the law, there was no remission of sins, just covering. The difference there is that they had to keep on every year offering a sacrifice to cover the sins. The blood of bulls and goats could never take it away. That's what remission is. It could never take it away. But Christ's blood ushers in a New Testament that does take sin away. And I'd like for us to keep that thought in our mind tonight as we read through here. The New Testament of Christ's blood for the remission of sins. In Matthew 26, it gives the story of God, of Christ's work. It gives the story of his death and his resurrection, his death, his trial, his death, and his resurrection there. But there's some things that stand out, and I'll probably not be making a lot of comments through that, but the Lord's Supper is one, and that was demonstrated by example by Jesus himself. And it illustrates humility, love, service. Those qualities are illustrated there. Also, we'll look at Peter and Judas. And also there's a lady that anointed Jesus' feet. But if you look at contrast the lady Mary, I believe it was, that anointed Jesus' feet. She did that out of a heart of love. And for the average person, it took a year's wages to buy this ointment. It took a year's wages to buy that. Whatever that would be, $30,000 to $50,000 in today's money, maybe. Could take if somebody came in here with a little box of perfume that costs $50,000 and broke it, would we be like Judas and think that that could have been put to better use? But Judas didn't care so much about the money. He cared more because he was a greedy man. So there's Peter, and Peter was human. He was one that wanted to, when things got rough, he wanted to save his own skin. And then also the humility of Jesus, of God, the humility and meekness of Jesus. And that is displayed in his example in prayer to his Father. You know, Jesus had access to 12 legions of angels. If you think about it. And I don't know exactly what that meant. There's somewhat of an estimate. But it would be a legion is approximately 6,000. If you're going with Roman legion, 6,000. And they're divided up into lots of 100. I'm just going to use round figures there, but let's say lots of 100, and they were commanded by each lot of 100 was commanded by a centurion. And then you had a legion, which was about 6,000 people, 6,000 soldiers. And Jesus said he could call 12 legions of angels. And the thing that's notable there is that, and I don't know how you know this, but they feel that, or they say that there was one approximately 100 soldiers in the fort there at Jerusalem, one of those sentries, and four sentries in the capital at Caesarea, which was, let's say, I don't know how they come up with that, but around 500 soldiers in the immediate vicinity there. So 12 legions of angels, or 72,000 of them, would be more than enough to come and just take care of the problem. And Jesus had access to that. Jesus had access to that, and he could have, if he wanted to push the buttons, as it were, he could have just escaped. But his meekness, that strength to go through, that strength that he kept in check, was illustrated there. Also, his humility. We'll read how when he was brought before the Jewish people, before the council, there wasn't enough, that they didn't have anybody that could get their stories to agree. They had false witnesses. They'd bring them in and they'd say, yep, he did this and he did that. But then they couldn't get their story to line up. So if they were cross-referencing or cross-questioning them, they wouldn't line up. And Jesus listened to that and he didn't even answer. He could have. They asked him and said, which one of these is right? And he wouldn't answer. He didn't try to get out of it. He was falsely accused, and he took it patiently. And in submission, when he was in the garden, he knew what was coming, or partly at least, he knew what was coming. And he said, Father, if it's possible, take it away from me. If it's possible, take it away. But he knew the mission that he was here for. And he said, if not, your will be done. Submission. He was physically abused. The soldiers came in with a rod, or with a reed, it said. I would take it to be like a bamboo pole, or something similar to that. Something that hurts. If you take a strong man, can do damage with that. And they took a crown of thorns. And don't imagine blackberry briars or rose thorns, but imagine 3-inch thorns from a thorn tree. Just a whole mess of it stuck on your head. Not nice, but just plopped on there. And the reed, they beat on it. He was physically abused. He was reviled. He was mocked. He was scourged with a whip. Jesus went through tremendous abuse to follow through with God's plan. So those are some points I'd like to point out here. Let's start reading here, Matthew 26, 1. This is the plot to kill Jesus. It says, "And it came to pass, when Jesus had finished all these sayings, he said unto his disciples, Ye know that after 2 days is the feast of the Passover, and the Son of Man is betrayed to be crucified. Then assembled together the chief priests and the scribes and the elders of the people unto the palace of the high priest, who was called Caiaphas, and consulted that they might take Jesus by subtlety and kill him. But they said, Not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar among the people. Now when Jesus was in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, there came unto him a woman having an alabaster box of very precious ointment, and poured it on his head as he sat at meat. But when his disciples saw it, they had indignation, saying, To what purpose is this waste? For this ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor. When Jesus understood it, he said unto them, Why trouble ye the woman? For she hath wrought a good work upon me. For you have the poor always with you, but me ye have not always. For in that she hath poured this ointment on my body, she did it for my burial. Verily, I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there shall also this, that this woman hath done, be told for a memorial of her. Then one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, went unto the chief priests, and said unto them, What will you give me, and I will deliver him to you? And they covenanted him, or contracted with him, for 30 pieces of silver. And from that time he sought opportunity to betray him. Now, the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the disciples came to Jesus, saying unto him, Where wilt thou that we prepare for thee to eat the Passover? And he said, Go into the city to such a man, and say unto him, The Master saith, My time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at thy house with my disciples. And the disciples did as Jesus had appointed them, and they made ready the Passover. Now when the even was come, he sat down with the 12, and as they did eat, he said, Verily I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. And they were exceeding sorrowful, and began every one of them to say unto him, Lord, is it I? And he answered and said, He that dippeth his hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me. The Son of Man goeth as it is written of him, but woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It had been good for that man if he had not been born. Then Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said, Master, is it I? He said unto him, Thou hast said, or you said it. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and brake it and gave it to the disciples and said, Take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. This is my blood of the New Testament. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. And when they had sung an hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. Then saith Jesus unto them, All ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. Peter answered and said to him, Though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. Jesus said unto him, Verily, or truly I say unto thee, that this night, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. Peter said unto him, Though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise also said all the disciples. Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, Sit here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here, and watch with me. And he went a little farther, and fell on his face, and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples, and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, What, could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them, and went away again, and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then cometh he to his disciples, and saith unto them, Sleep on now, and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let's be going. Look, he is at hand that doth betray me. And while he yet spake, lo, Judas, one of the 12, came, and with him a great multitude with swords and staves from the chief priests and elders of the people. Now he that betrayed him gave them a sign, saying, Whomsoever I shall kiss, that same is he. Hold him fast. And forthwith he came to Jesus and said, Hail, Master, and kissed him. And Jesus said unto him, Friend, wherefore art thou come? Then came they and laid hands on Jesus and took him. And behold, one of them which were with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew his sword and struck a servant of the high priest and smote off his ear. Then said Jesus unto him, Put up again thy sword into its place, for all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword. Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels to get us out of here? But how then shall the scriptures be fulfilled, that thus it must be? In that same hour said Jesus to the multitudes, Are ye come out against a thief with swords and staves for to take me? I sat daily with you, teaching in the temple, and ye laid no hold on me then. Ye laid no hold on me, but all this was done, that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. Then all the disciples forsook him and fled. And they that had laid hold on Jesus led him away to Caiaphas the high priest, where the scribes and the elders were assembled. But Peter followed him afar off unto the high priest's palace, and went in and sat with the servants to see the end. Now the chief priests and elders and all the council sought false witness against Jesus to put him to death, but found none. Yea, though many false witnesses came, yet found they none. At the last came two false witnesses, and said, This fellow said, I'm able to destroy the temple of God and to build it in 3 days. And the high priest arose and said to him, Answerest thou nothing? What is it which these witness against thee? But Jesus held his peace, and the high priest answered and said unto them, I adjure thee by the living God that thou tell us whether thou be the Christ, the Son of God. Jesus saith unto him, Thou hast said. Nevertheless, I say unto you, hereafter shall ye see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power, coming in the clouds of heaven. Then the high priest rent his clothes, saying, He hath spoken blasphemy. What further need have we of witnesses? Behold, now ye have heard his blasphemy. What think ye? They answered and said, He is guilty of death. Then did they spit in his face and buffeted him, and others smote him with the palms of their hands, saying, Prophesy unto us, thou Christ, who is he that smote thee? Now Peter sat without in the palace, and a damsel came unto him, saying, Thou also wast with Jesus of Galilee. But he denied before them all, saying, I know not what thou sayest. And when he was gone out into the porch, another maid saw him, and said unto them that were there, This fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth. And again he denied with an oath, I do not know the man. And after a while came unto him they that stood by, and said to Peter, Surely thou also art one of them, for thy speech bewrayeth thee. Then began he to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man. And immediately the cock crew. And Peter remembered the word of Jesus, which said unto him, Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out and wept bitterly. When the morning was come, all the chief priests and elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. And when they had bound him, they led him away and delivered him to Pontius Pilate, the governor. Then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood. And they said, What's that to us? See thou to that. He threw down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself. And the chief priests took the silver pieces and said, It is not lawful for us to put them into the treasury, because it's the price of blood. And they took counsel and bought with them the potter's field to bury strangers in. Wherefore that field was called the field of blood unto this day. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremy the prophet, saying, And they took the 30 pieces of silver, the price of him that was valued, whom they of the children of Israel did value, and gave them for the potter's field, as the Lord appointed me. And Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, saying, Art thou the king of the Jews? And Jesus said unto him, You said it, thou sayest. But when he was accused of the chief priests and elders, he answered nothing. Then said Pilate unto him, Hearest thou not how many things they witness against thee? And he answered him to never a word, insomuch that the governor marveled greatly. Now at that feast the governor was wont to release unto the people a prisoner whom they would, and they had then a notable prisoner called Barabbas. Therefore when they were gathered together, Pilate said unto them, Whom will ye that I release unto you, Barabbas, or Jesus which is called Christ? For he knew that for envy they had delivered him. When he was set down on the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, saying, Have nothing to do with that just man, for I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. But the chief priests and elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor answered and said unto them, Whether of the twain will ye that I release unto you? They said, Barabbas! Pilate saith unto them, What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? They all say unto him, Let him be crucified. And the governor said, Why? What evil hath he done? But they cried out the more, saying, Let him be crucified. When Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather a tumult was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it. Then answered all the people and said, His blood be on us and on our children. Then released he Barabbas unto them, and when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall and gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers, and they stripped him and put on him a scarlet robe. When they had plaited a crown of thorns, they put it on his head and a reed in his right hand, and they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews! And they spit on him and took the reed and smote him on the head. And after that they had mocked him, they took the robe off from him and put his own raiment on him and led him away to crucify him. And as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name, Him they compelled to bear his cross. And when they were come unto a place called Golgotha, that is to say, a place of a skull, they gave him vinegar to drink, mingled with gall. And when he had tasted thereof, he would not drink. And they crucified him and parted his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet. They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots. And sitting down, they watched him there, and set up over his head his accusation written, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." Then were there two thieves crucified with him, one on his right hand and another on the left. And they that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads and saying, "Thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross." Likewise also the chief priests, mocking him with the scribes and elders, said, "He saved others. Himself he cannot save. If he be the King of the Jews, let him come down now from the cross, and we will believe him. He trusted in God, let him deliver him now, if he will have him. For he said, 'I am the Son of God.'" The thieves also, which were crucified with him, cast the same in his teeth. Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land unto the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani?" That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Some of them that stood there, when they heard that, said, "This man calleth for Elias." And straightway one of them ran and took a sponge and filled it with vinegar and put it on a reed and gave him to drink. The rest said, "Let be, let us see whether Elias will come to save him." Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose, and came out of the graves after his resurrection, and went into the holy city, and appeared unto many. Now when the centurion and they that were with him, watching Jesus, saw the earthquake, and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, "Truly, this was the Son of God." And many women which were there beholding afar off, which followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering unto him, among which was Mary Magdalene, and Mary the mother of James, and Joseph, and the mother of Zebedee's children. When the even was come, there came a rich man of Arimathea, named Joseph, who also himself was Jesus' disciple. He went to Pilate and begged the body of Jesus. Then Pilate commanded the body to be delivered. And when Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in a clean linen cloth and laid it in his own new tomb, which he had hewn out in the rock. And he rolled a great stone to the door of the sepulchre and departed. And there was Mary Magdalene and the other Mary sitting over against the sepulchre. And then it goes on to say how they put a guard there and sealed the tomb. And then in chapter 28, it talks about Jesus' resurrection. It talks about Jesus' resurrection there and how he didn't stay in the tomb there. But when Jesus gave up the ghost on the cross there, when he died, the veil in the temple was torn from the top all the way to the bottom. And that ushered in the New Testament. The Old Testament was gone, but the New Testament was here. The New Testament of Christ's blood. Then the last verses in Matthew 28, verses 16 through the end of the chapter there. After Jesus has risen again, the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. They went all the way back to Galilee there, to that mountain. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto him, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore, disciples, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things and whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Amen. All power is given him in heaven and in earth. When he comes again, he's going to be in charge of those 12 legions of angels. You know, tonight we serve a risen Savior who has been given all power. But we're caught in a spiritual war that we don't fully comprehend. And Judas, greedy Judas, impetuous Peter, or generous Mary could be our story. But because of Jesus, we're here tonight to celebrate the remembrance of the New Testament, of his blood and his body that was broken for us. And it's because of that, of his death and resurrection, that we're able to experience the blessing of his body, the church. We're able to experience the New Testament of his blood for the remission of sins. Praise the Lord for his gift. Let's kneel for prayer.